From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that cannot only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin hopes COVID-19 vaccine would become available mid-2021. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin encouraged religious leaders to awaken people's spirit to work hard in the pandemic period. The United Arab Emirates postponed Mars missions due to weather at Japan launch site. Now the news in details. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin has expressed a hope that the COVID-19 vaccine would become available by mid-2021, or even earlier, and bring the global pandemic to an end. The Vice President said while delivering an address at the National Cross-Faith Dialogue, held virtually from Jakarta on Tuesday, until the vaccine is developed and research continues on finding an antidote to the virus, the number of COVID-19 infection and death in Indonesia will remain on the rise. According to the Vice President, this pandemic is still a serious threat, considering the high infection rate. Even though vaccine and antidotes are yet to become available, governments across the globe are continuing to take on various precautionary measures, including the Indonesian government. The role of religious leaders in the post-pandemic period is as important as in the pandemic era. For this reason, Vice President Ma'ruf Amin called on religious leaders to inspire people to work hard to restore the condition as it was before the pandemic. This was conveyed by Vice President Ma'ruf Amin in his address at the Cross-Faith National Virtual Dialogue theme, The Role and Challenges of Religion in the Post-Pandemic Period in Jakarta on Tuesday. In this case, I would like to invite religious leaders to arouse the spirit of the people to work hard in order to restore the conditions as before COVID-19 and to catch up the backwardness that occurred due to COVID-19. More than that, refocusing the nation's energy and thinking to achieve the national development goals, namely advance Indonesia. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin added that the progress of science and technology must be in line with the preservation of the faith and piety of the religious communities. Meanwhile, Indonesian Religious Minister Fahrul Razi, in his remarks, appreciated the positive things done when overcoming the COVID-19 outbreak, namely all groups throughout the world, including in Indonesia, cooperating with each other in overcoming this pandemic regardless of the state or religion. But a very positive thing that we see when we overcome this epidemic, everyone works together. All nation works together to overcome it, so that we no longer care what medicine equipment comes from which country, what religion of the country is, or when in Indonesia, for example, we don't care what the patient's religion is, what doctor's religion is, what nurse's religion is, then what sponsor religion supporting the funds. All of us are working together to make efforts to save everyone from the COVID-19 outbreak. The Grassfaith National Virtual Dialogue was held by the Istiqlal Mass Management Board. Present as speakers were Nasraruddin Umar, Grand Imam of the Istiqlal Mass, Cardinal Monsignor Ignacio Suhario of the Indonesian Bishop Conference, Reverend Gomar Gultom of the Indonesian Church Fellowship, Major General Wisnu Bawatanaya of Parisada Hindu Dharma Indonesia, Sri Hartati Murdaya of Indonesian Buddhist Guardians, Budi Santoso Tanuwibowo of the Indonesian Supreme Council of Confucius Religion, and Nifasari, head of the Center of Religious Harmony and of the Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs. Director General of Tax, Minister of Finance Surya Utomo on Tuesday listed three major outcomes of the coronavirus pandemic which have triggered an economic crisis in Indonesia. Utomo said, while commemorating the 2020 Tax Day, theme Rising Together with Tax with Mutual Cooperation Spirit in Jakarta, that the economic turmoil caused by the COVID-19 pandemic has hit Indonesia like a perfect storm that has had at least three major impacts on the economy. The first impact of the pandemic has been a steep decline in the household consumption or purchasing power. The second impact has been prolonged uncertainty that has weakened investment and has had implication on business continuity. The third impact has been the global economic slowdown, which has caused commodity prices to slide and Indonesia's export to several countries to cease. According to Suryo, the economic turmoil caused by COVID-19 has had an historic impact on the management of the country's finances, as it has led to the revision of the state budget twice as part of efforts to recover the economy. Listener, this news comes from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. The United Arab Emirates, UAE, has postponed to July 17 the launch of its mission to Mars due to weather condition at the launch site in Japan. The United Arab Emirates Government Communication Office said on Tuesday, the United Arab Emirates Hope probe was due to set off from Japan's Tanegashima Space Center at 12:51 a.m. United Arab Emirates time on Wednesday for a seven-month journey to the Red Planet, where it was due to orbit and send back data about the atmosphere. The Government Communication Office tweeted that the United Arab Emirates space mission, the Arab world's first interplanetary mission, will launch on Friday, July 17, 2020, at 12:43 United Arab Emirates time from Tanegashima Space Center. The United Arab Emirates, an oil-exporting nation, first announced plans for the mission in 2014 as part of efforts to diversify away from hydrocarbons and develop a knowledge economy, aiming to reach the planet by 2021. The European Union has allocated 35,000 euros, or about 573 million rupiah, in humanitarian assistance for Rohingya refugees who were rescued recently and allowed to land in Aceh, Indonesia, after spending more than 120 days at sea. The funds have been channeled through the Indonesian Red Cross and will be used to provide clean water, sanitation facilities, healthcare, psychosocial support, and necessities such as sleeping mats and blankets, and cleanliness and personal protective equipment, the European Union said in a statement in Jakarta on Tuesday. The Indonesian Red Cross team will also carry out hygiene socialization, focusing on prevention of coronavirus and dengue infection. In addition, the fund will also support efforts to restore contact between separated family members. The humanitarian aid is part of the European Union's contribution to the Disaster Relief Emergency Fund, which is managed by the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies. Thousands of Indonesian students in the United States are in limbo following a Trump administration policy that requires foreign students to leave the country if their schools move classes entirely online in response to the COVID-19 crisis. The Trump administration, through its Immigration and Customs Enforcement ICE agency, announced a rule last week for holders of certain students' visas if their courses went fully online in the fall. In the U.S., the first semester of the school year often begins in early September and runs until mid-December. Foreign Ministry Director for Citizen Protection, Judah Nugraha, recently said that all six Indonesian representative offices in the U.S. had assured the nation's students that the Indonesian government would protect them. Indonesian representatives have also coordinated with various campuses regarding the U.S. policy, including exploring the possibility of holding face-to-face or hybrid classes. Alfiansyah Apramono, the chair of the Indonesian Students Association in the United States, said the new policy had taken everyone by surprise, forcing all representative offices, including the education and culture attaché, to seek clarification from U.S. government agencies, particularly ICE and campuses. Most of the 117 universities premiers surveyed have decided to use a combination of online and in-person classes to meet the requirement for the new school year this fall. Huawei UK believes that the UK's government decision to remove the Chinese tech giant from the development of 5G network is politicized and has nothing to do with security issues. Earlier in the day, UK Secretary of the State for Digital, Culture, Media and Sport, Oliver Dowden, said that the government would ban Huawei produce equipment for 5G networks beginning at the end of the year. In addition, UK mobile providers will have to completely remove Huawei equipment from the country's 5G network by 2027. According to Dowden, this decision was made over national security consideration and sanction imposed by the US against Huawei. Huawei UK spokesman Ed Brewster called the decision bad news for anyone in the UK with a mobile phone. According to him, connections will become slower and tariffs will rise. The decision marks a significant U-turn for Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who previously stated that the Chinese company would be allowed to work on non-sensitive parts of the UK's 5G network. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary today entitling China and US Maneuvers in South China Sea. The South China Sea has never stopped flaring up. The struggle for power, accompanied by claims over the territorial waters of the sea, further increased both military and political tensions. Military maneuvers and statements made by various countries that feel entitled to or have an interest in the territorial waters almost never stop. Large countries try to strengthen their influence economically and politically, both through military and diplomatic movements, which actually triggered an escalation of tensions. Beijing claims that almost 90% of the waters belongs to China. Yet the territory in the exclusive economic zone in the South China Sea was also claimed by Vietnam, Brunei Darussalam, the Philippines, and Malaysia, all of which are Asian countries. Indonesia, whose territory is close to the disputed waters, does not state to having any claims, let alone a regional dispute with China in the South China Sea. However, as a fellow Asian members, Indonesia calls on those countries to try to resolve dispute peacefully and properly to reduce tensions. On the other hand, there is the United States, which actually has no claim on the South China Sea waters. But the big country seems to have its own interests and feels it was very important that the region remain free as an international trade passage. Washington is calling for the South China Sea to remain the main international trade route that is free and accessible to anyone. Beijing claims to nearly 90% of the South China Sea region is considered to disrupt the free flow of international trade. Recently, China has conducted military training in the waters it claims as its territory. For Beijing's action, Washington reacted strongly by stating that the area used for the military exercise was not Chinese territory. The United States then sent two aircraft carriers on July 4th and asked Beijing to stop its military training in the South China Sea. According to the United States, it only causes regional instability, which ultimately disrupts the smooth flow of international trade. As the country hosts parts of the maritime territory, it is bordered by several countries' claims to the South China Sea. Indonesia naturally wants to stop disputes and tensions. If this continues, then it will surely affect the stability of regional security. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumoti. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to our regular Today in History. We start from an event on July 15, 1927, with July Revolution in Austria. The July 1927 Revolution, also known as the Vienna Palace Fire, was a riot which began on July 15, 1927 in the Austrian capital Vienna. The riot peaked when police forces firing on angry crowds, killing 89 protesters and 5 policemen were killed. More than 600 demonstrators and around 600 police injured. The clash was the result of a conflict between the Austrian Social Democratic Party and right-wing alliances, including wealthy industrialists and the Catholic Church. A warning sign for the victims was established in Vienna Central Friedhof, a plaque at the Palace of Justice that was inaugurated by President Heinz Fischer in 2007. Next turn to a history on July 15, 1940, was the death of Robert Wadlow. Robert Pershing Wadlow was the tallest person in the world. He was sometimes called the Alton Giant, taken from his hometown in Alton, Illinois. Robert has reached 2.72 meters tall, with 220 kilogram weight when he died. Her body is large and continues to growing tall as an adult due to hypertrophy in the pituitary, which results in an abnormal amount of growth hormone, so that growth continues even when he dies. While still alive, Wadlow was ever being the most popular American celebrity. He was so famous when he toured some countries in 1936 as part of the Ringling Brothers Circus and a promotional tour of Interco in 1938. We end with a history on July 15, 1955, was the signing of Minot Declaration. The Minot Declaration is one of the two socio-political petitions from recipients of Nobel laureates who participating in the Nobel Laureate Meeting, the annual meeting of young scientists in the city of Lindau, Germany on July 11 to 15. The Minot Declaration is an appeal against the use of nuclear weapons. Initiated and compiled by German nuclear scientists Otto Hahn and Max Born, the declaration was circulated at the 5th Nobel meeting and presented on Mainau Island on July 15, 1955. The declaration was originally signed by 18 Nobel laureates. Within a year, the number of supporters increased to 52 Nobel Prize winners. That was Today in History.
Jatuh cinta tak terduga. datang tanpa rencana, karena cinta karunia. Namun bisa jadi sebuah ujian yang penuh godaan, membuai rasa
Indonesia COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio.
Harib COVID-19 dibakoikum fil manazil.
Disaman gegen corona, wir bleiben zu Hause.
Stay at home, stay healthy, and together we can fight the coronavirus.
Bleib thuis. Was je handen met zeep, draag je masker als je naar buiten gaat, neem de vitamine en zorg je gezondheid. Samen bestrijden we de coronavirus.
From Indonesia to the world.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is titled Tourism and Creative Economy Ministry holds Tourism Village Guard Training for Lecturers. Indonesian Tourism and Creative Economy Ministry held training of trainer for tourism village to increase quality of manager and people in the tourism villages for higher education lecturers. Tourism Human Resources Development Director of the Tourism Ministry, Wisnu Bawatarunajaya, in a statement in Jakarta on Sunday, July the 12th, explained that the training program for Tourism Village Guide on July the 9th until the 11th, 2020, was one of the programs developed by the ministry. This program aims to accelerate economic growth in the tourism sector, which is not oriented to city only, but also villages. Besides a policy implementation from the government, the guidance training is also a form of Tourism and Creative Economy Ministry's concern to develop villages through directed and measured guidance, and its development can be monitored well and referring to sustainable concepts. Besides that, the Tourism and Creative Economy Ministry, in cooperation with the Ministry of Village Development of Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration, as well as Higher Education, created the Guidance-Based Tourism Village People Empowerment Program to implement one of the three pillars of higher education, namely community service. Wisnu Bawatarunajaya explained, the cooperation program had been done since 2019, which was joined by 55 higher education, and this year it was joined by 109 higher education in all provinces of Indonesia. Tourism Village Guide training program this year is not only about basic comprehension of tourism awareness and tourism village, but also new protocol in the tourism sector during the new normal, namely environmental hygiene, health, and security in the tourism village. In the tourism village development activity, the participant was given training to increase their quality and competency among many by developing tourism products and tourism villages in the form of exploration, packaging, and presentation. Therefore, in tourism village development, people are expected to have local wisdom-based uniqueness. Guidance program concept implementation was made as a mover for villages which desire to be developed into tourism villages and need support in increasing competencies in tourism, excellent service, personal development, leadership, management, and information technology. And listener, that was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Kembali cari mami.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Ratu Boko Temple. Ratu Boko Temple is an ancient site which is a complex of a number of remnants of buildings. It is located approximately 3 km south of the Prambanan Temple Complex, 18 km east of Yogyakarta City, or 50 km southwest of Surakarta City, Central Java, Indonesia. The Ratu Boko site is located on a hill at an altitude of 196 meters above sea level. The total area of the complex is around 25 hectares. This site displays attributes as places for activities or settlement sites, but its exact function is not yet clearly known. The temple is predicted to have been used by people in the 8th century during the Sailendra dynasty or Rakai Panangkaran of the Medang Kingdom or Hindu Mataram. The name Ratu Boko comes from the legend of the local resident. Ratu Boko is a Javanese language that literally means the king of storks. The king is also the father of Loro Jonggrang and becomes the name of the main temple in the Prambanan Temple Complex. This building complex is associated with local folk legend Loro Jonggrang. Different from other ancient relics at the ancient Javanese era that are generally in the form of religious buildings, the Ratu Boko site is a residential complex, complete with gate, pavilion, residences, and bathing pool to protect the fences. The Ratu Boko site is located on a high hill. This location indicates the presence of springs and the existence of a water management system that can meet daily needs. Bathing pool is a heritage of the system. Another peculiarity of the site is a place at the left of the gate, which is now called Cremation Place. Viewing its size and position, it is a place to perform something or activities. The Ratu Boko site was reported for the first time by Van Boholst in 1790, stating that there are archaeological ruins on the hill of Ratu Boko. 100 years later, research was conducted and led by F.D.K. Bosch. From this, it was concluded that the ruins were the remains of the palace. Today, the central government includes the Ratu Boko site complex in a special authority, along with the management of Borobudur and Prambanan temples in a state-owned company called PT Taman Wisata Candi. As a consequence, the Ratu Boko site was reorganized in several places to be used as a place for education and cultural activities. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Ratu Boko Temple in Central Java. Tomorrow we'll meet again with another interesting topic. Bye bye.
My house is a mess, my mind's not the best. trying to recall what happened the day before. I remember you shouting to my face, you're such a bore. Is it my fault for being too pure? Knowing little about love, always so insecure. You said, trust me, I know what's best. You walked away telling me we should rest. I would drive 2,000 miles just to see you, babe. Just about how foolish I can be to fall for your words over and over again. Oh, I can't describe what I'm feeling through this song. I hope that you see just about how foolish I can be to fall for your words over and over again. I would drive 2,000 miles just to see you, babe.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, we introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Saya Tidak Mengerti. In English, I do not understand. Listen to this conversation about Saya tidak mengerti in English, I do not understand. Kevin does not understand yet about the explanation on one of subjects he asked the lecturer.
Bapak, saya ingin bertanya.
Ya, silakan.
Apa itu diftong?
Diftong adalah gabungan vokal.
Now, I'm going to introduce the vocabularies and expressions related to that topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Bapak, bapak, which means sir. Saya ingin bertanya. Saya ingin bertanya, which means I have a question. Ya, silakan. Ya, silakan, which means yes, please. Apa itu diftong? Apa itu diftong? Which means, what is diftong? Diftong adalah gabungan vokal. Diftong adalah gabungan vokal. Which means, diftong is a combine of vocal. If you want to ask something at a forum or formal event, such as lecture forum, you can use a sentence, Bapak, saya ingin bertanya. Apa itu diftong? In English, sir, I'd like to ask you what is diphthong. As a note, the use of the word ingin in a sentence Bapak saya ingin bertanya can be changed with the word izin, like the sentence Bapak saya izin bertanya, which means I have a question. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Bapak, saya ingin bertanya.
Ya, silakan.
Apa itu diftong?
Diftong adalah gabungan vokal.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Kepada
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today, I present a song from Gorontalo entitled Hulon Dolu Lipu'u. The song Hulon Dolu Lipu'u narrates about love to the region of Gorontalo, which is mentioned by the song as Hulon Dolu. The lyrics mention that Gorontalo is an unforgettable born place. The lyrics Hulon Dolu Lipu'u also mention some natural beauties of Gorontalo, namely Tilong Kabila Mount, Bone River, and Lake Limboto. The song Hulon Dolu Lipu'u was composed by Umar Jafar, a musical maestro from Gorontalo. Then the Hulon Dolu Lipu'u has been popularized by Rama Aipama, who passed away in March 2020. Well, listener, here is the song Hulon Dolu Lipu'u by Rama Aipama. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.